وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
Surely, the people of Al-Hijr also rejected the messengers, calling them liars. Surely, the people of Al-Hijr...
Al-Hijr was the capital city of the people of Thamud. Its ruins are found to the northwest of Medina, a few miles from the present town of Al-Ula. The town lies en route from Medina to Tabuk, through which caravans still pass. However, in accordance with the directive of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, travelers do not halt there. In the 8th century Hijra, Ibn Battuta visited the place on his way to Mecca. He says, I have seen the buildings of Thamud hewed in red mountains. The paintings look so bright as if they have been put on recently, and rotten bones of human beings are found in them even today.
وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ آيَاتِنَا فَكَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ
We also gave them our signs, yet they turned away from them.
وَكَانُوا يَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا آمِنِينَ
They used to hew out houses from the mountains and lived in security.
فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُصْبِحِينَ
Then the blast caught them in the morning.
فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ
And whatever they had been earning proved of no avail. And whatever they had been earning proved of no avail.
That is, their sturdy, rock-hewn houses totally failed to protect them from God's chastisement.
وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلَ
We have not created the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them except with truth. Surely, the hour will come. So, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, do graciously overlook them despite their misdeeds. We have not created the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them except with truth.
This is stated so as to comfort Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He is told that even though falsehood apparently seemed to dominate, and that there lay many obstacles and difficulties in the path of truth, one should not be daunted by them. For this state is purely transient and cannot endure. This is because the heavens and the earth have been created with truth. In fact, the whole universe is in consonance with the truth and discordant with falsehood. It is the truth rather than falsehood which endures.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ
Your Lord is indeed the creator of all, the all-knowing. Your Lord is indeed the creator of all, the all-knowing.
Being the creator, God holds total sway over all his creatures. None can elude his grip. Moreover, being the creator, God is all-knowing. He is fully aware of all the efforts made by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to reform his people. He is also fully cognizant of the stratagems of the Prophet's enemies, designed specifically to frustrate his efforts. Hence, there is no reason for the Prophet, peace be upon him, to lose his patience, for in the course of time, full justice will be done.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ
We have indeed bestowed on you the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an, the seven oft-repeated verses.
The expression seven oft-repeated verses stands for the seven verses of the opening surah of the Qur'an, Al-Fatiha. Some scholars, however, consider the expression to refer to the seven long surahs of which has more than 200 verses. These surahs are Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-Araf, and Yunus or Al-Anfal or Al-Tawbah. All the above mentioned surahs are among the longer surahs of the Quran. The vast majority of Muslim scholars, however, are agreed that the expression refers to Al-Fatiha. Al-Bukhari mentions two traditions which show that the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself clarified that the seven repeated verses signified Al-Fatiha.
And the great Quran.
This was also said with a view to comforting and consoling the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions. At that time, they were in a state of miserable suffering. Sometime after the assumption of his onerous responsibilities, the Prophet's trade activities virtually came to a halt. The savings of his wife Khadija were also exhausted during the course of about 10 years. This much should suffice to explain the financial predicament of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So far as the rest of the Muslims are concerned, some young men were expelled from their homes. Those who were engaged in trade or had some vocation were financially crippled as a result of the economic boycott. In addition to these, many Muslims lacked any financial locus standi since their social status was that of slaves or clients, mawali. Thus the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions had quite a miserable existence in Mecca and the areas around it owing to the severe persecution to which they were subjected. Everywhere they were ridiculed, insulted, and vilified. As if mental torture was not enough, they were also subjected to cruel physical chastisements. In sharp contrast to the lot of the Muslims was the situation of the unbelievers of the Quraysh. Their chiefs were conspicuously prosperous. All kinds of worldly enjoyments were plentifully available to them. It is in the context of these circumstances that the believers are being asked not to lose heart, for God has blessed them with something which is far more valuable than all worldly riches. The moral and intellectual wealth granted to the Muslims is incomparably superior to the unlawfully earned material wealth in possession of the unbelievers. The latter kind of wealth will be of no avail to them, for they will be utterly bankrupt when they appear before their Lord on the Day of Judgment.
لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم ولا تحزن عليهم واخفض جناحك للمؤمنين.
Do not even cast your eyes towards the worldly goods we have granted to different kinds of people, nor grieve over the state they are in, but turn your loving attention to the believers instead. Nor grieve over the state they are in. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is being asked not to grieve over the lot of the unbelievers. They mistook their sincere well-wisher for an enemy. They considered doctrinal errors and moral corruption as matters one ought to be proud of. They were well advanced on a path that would inevitably lead them to a disastrous end. Above all, they had spared no efforts to frustrate the teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who was engaged in striving to direct them to the way which would lead to their salvation.
وَقُلْ إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ الْمُبِينُ.
And clearly tell the unbelievers, I am most certainly a plain warner.
كما أنزلنا على المقتسمين.
Even as we had sent warning to those who had divided their religion into fragments.
الذين جعلوا القرآن عضين.
Those who had split up their Quran into pieces. Those who had split up their Quran into pieces.
The reference here is to the Jews. They have been branded as Muqtasimun, since they had torn their religion into shreds by believing in certain parts of it and not in others. They had also added a great deal to their original religion and divested it of many of its original features, which gave rise to the scores of sects in their midst. They had also split their scripture, which for them was like the Quran is to the Muslims, into fragments. The act mentioned here is in fact no other than what has been mentioned elsewhere in the Quran in the following words. Do you believe in a part of the scripture and reject the rest? Al-Baqarah 2:85. The purpose of the above statement is to warn the Muslims regarding matters for which the Jews had been warned earlier. The record of the Jews was highlighted in order that the Muslims might learn a lesson. The Jews had failed to heed warnings from God. This led to disastrous consequences. That this contained a lesson for the Muslims was quite evident. To fail to take heed of it amounted to choosing an end as tragic as that of the Jews.
فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ.
By your Lord, we will question them all.
عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
concerning what they have been doing.
فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ
O Prophet, proclaim what you are commanded and pay no heed to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity.
إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ
Surely, we suffice to deal with those who scoff at you.
الَّذِينَ يَجْعَلُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ
Those who set up another deity alongside Allah, they shall soon come to know.
وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ
We certainly know that their statements sorely grieve you.
فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ
When you feel so, glorify your Lord with His praise and prostrate yourself before Him.
وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ
And worship your Lord until the last moment of your life. That will most certainly come. And worship your Lord until the last moment of your life. That will most certainly come.
Believers are bound to encounter hardships in the course of their efforts to propagate Islam and bring about reform in the lives of people. They can face the hardships and sufferings which come their way only with the help of prayer and perseverance in the service of God. These will infuse them with patience, will raise their morale, and also develop in them the steadfastness needed to carry out the mission that will please God, even in the face of opposition, condemnation, and vilification.